Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 67 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
Kentucky also has backed long-term support and is further investing in these programs with the newly established PACE program.
Community leaders met for the annual Developmental Disability Awareness Proclamation signing today.
A bill barring no-knock warrants is moving closer to the governor's desk.
A new stimulus bill means $4.1 million for Kentuckians.
The number of COVID tests is declining in the Commonwealth.
Some retirement homes in the state are easing visitation restrictions.
In sports, high school basketball teams are wrapping up regular season play this week.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 51. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
State and community leaders gathered virtually today for the annual Developmental Disability Awareness Proclamation signing. March is Disabilities Awareness Month, and each year organizations work to highlight the many ways in which people with and without disabilities come together to form strong, diverse communities. Governor Andy Beshear attended this week's virtual celebration with DNS Community Services in Moorhead.
Kentucky has shown great improvement in recent years, bolstering aging and disability resource centers, subsidizing housing opportunities for individuals with disabilities, and services to support persons and family-centered care. COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted the significant health disparities across our state, but it has also demonstrated the profound value of community-based independent living and caregiving.
More information on DNS services is available at dscommunity.com.
A bill barring many no-knock warrants in Kentucky is one step closer to reaching the governor's desk after a decision vote in committee Wednesday. The House Judiciary Committee approved Senate Bill 4, which would place much tighter restrictions on the police use of no-knock warrants. Republican Senate President Robert Stiver said, had the law been in effect last year, it would have prevented the shooting death of Breonna Taylor.
There would have never been a warrant issued to search that night that house that Breonna Taylor died in.
The committee also held a hearing, but no vote, on House Bill 21, the measure officially known as Breonna's Law. The sponsor of that bill, Democrat Attica Scott, said she has differences with Stiver's legislation, but the two are working together to craft a compromise. The Louisville representative said in her community, concern over issues like no-knock warrants long predates Taylor's death. While SB 4 tightens when and how no-knock warrants can be sought and issued, Stiver says he's open to other changes, including language requiring EMTs or ambulances to be nearby during the execution of the warrants.
A bill that would require vision screenings for Kentucky drivers renewing their licenses advanced out of the Senate Transportation Committee Wednesday. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has more.
Currently, Kentucky only requires vision screenings for new drivers. House Bill 439 would require Kentuckians to take an eye exam when renewing their driver's license. Representative Kimberly Moser says HB 439 contained an effective date of July 1, 2024, to give the Transportation Cabinet time to implement the measure within the overall Real ID overhaul. Opponents of the bill expressed concerns about the cost for low-income motorists. HB 439 now goes to the full Senate for further consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
The U.S. House of Representatives passed Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill Wednesday. The package is being called the American Rescue Plan. The bill provides Kentucky with billions of dollars in aid, including $1,400 in stimulus checks for most Kentuckians. Jason Bailey is with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy. He tells LEX 18, payments will be sent to 4.1 million Kentuckians, which is 92% of the state's population.
Unless you're very high income, you're going to receive a stimulus check. Most all of those people will get $1,400 per person in the household, so that includes children.
Bailey adds those who qualify and have children will also receive an expended tax credit. Other funding includes money for distributing the COVID-19 vaccines, aid for small businesses, and help for renters and landlords.
The Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education released new research on the wage gap in Kentucky this week. WMKY's Levi Bryan has the story.
The research shows that despite having earned the same or similar degrees, Kentucky women are getting paid less than men. Between men and women with only a high school education, the gap in median lifetime earnings totals about $500,000 in Kentucky. That grows to about $1.4 million for men and women with terminal degrees, which include doctoral and professional degrees like law and engineering. With a bachelor's degree, Kentucky women earn 73 cents on the male dollar, and a master's degree improves it by 4 cents on average. Moreover, the income disparities for Kentucky women exceed the national average. The U.S. Census Bureau recorded in 2019 that women were earning 82 cents on the dollar. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Levi Bryan.
Governor Andy Beshear announced that the number of COVID tests performed in the state has been steadily declining this week. 850,000 Kentuckians have been vaccinated, and more have antibodies from recent illnesses. Beshear tells WYMT that is the reason why the lines at the testing sites are getting noticeably shorter.
So testing is going to be a challenge moving forward, and we need to promote it. But at the same time, we also have to understand that with these other two things going on, it's naturally going to be lower.
The governor encouraged people to get tested even if they've been vaccinated. He also adds the drop in testing is not why the positivity rate is dropping.
A new report from the Alzheimer's Association shows the pandemic had a devastating impact on people with Alzheimer's disease. At the Lantern at Morning Point in Lexington, the care for residents over the last year has changed. Community Relations Director Jana Hatton tells LEX18 mental health issues have been more prevalent this year. She adds the biggest impact they noticed was when the center stopped allowing visitors and the residents had little interaction with their families.
Everybody needs socialization. We try to keep all of our residents out with us in the community all day long. There were times where we had to keep residents safe in their rooms, but we gave them one-on-one attention as much as possible. We made sure they have things to do and that they know that they're safe and they're loved here.
Hatton adds they are starting to let visitors into the facility and the residents will be able to interact with loved ones.
The CDC has eased restrictions on visitation, allowing people to visit family members and senior living centers. Having been isolated in their rooms for so long, seniors are excited to see their families again. Betty Redding lives at Forest Hills Commons in Louisville. She tells WYMT she is excited to be reunited with her family.
That we are finally going to get to be able to be a family, I guess you would say. We've just been kind of a family that's been separated, and now we can be a family that can be united.
Although measures are relaxed, the staff still asks that family members continue to wear masks and practice social distancing. The rules are being relaxed at private pay facilities, but the government has not yet issued a plan for federally run long-term care and assisted living places.
Doctors are already seeing patients who think they have seasonal allergies but test positive for the coronavirus. After taking allergy medication, symptoms should begin to clear, and if they don't, healthcare providers encourage patients to take more action. Beverly Kessler is a nurse practitioner with Norton Prompt Care at Walgreens. She tells Wave 3 News the use of nasal spray can help prevent seasonal allergies.
Nasal spray along with your antihistamine works great together. Lean slightly forward and then use your nasal spray. So don't ever use your nasal spray while you're laying down in bed or you're slouching on the couch.
Healthcare providers say it's important to realize that experiencing a loss of smell and taste are COVID symptoms and individuals should self-isolate.
After several weeks of bad weather and a few days of sunshine, many are choosing to burn debris left from the ice storm and flooding. But dry days mean wooded areas are more likely to catch fire during this time as well. Beverly Van is a resident of Ashland. She tells WSAZ she's getting ready to burn her piles of tree limbs safely.
And then we're just going to use hand saws and things to kind of, you know, chop them up into sizable pieces and stack them up for our fire pit.
The hours to burn in Kentucky are from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Kentucky State Police are looking into a Rowan County collision that happened on Tuesday. WMKY's Carla Haight has the story.
A multi-vehicle collision involving four individuals happened around 8.05 p.m. in Moorhead. According to Kentucky State Police, Post 8 Armando Cintron of Nashville was traveling south on Kentucky 801. He was making a left turn when he crossed into the path of Johnny Rice of Flemingsburg. Rice was traveling north on Kentucky 801 and swerved, striking a Dodge Ram operated by Dwayne Carpenter of Moorhead. Rice and his passenger, Lakeisha Wallace of Moorhead, were airlifted to the University of Kentucky. Cintron and Carpenter declined treatment. KSP Post 8 continues to investigate the crash. For WMKY News, I'm Carla Haight.
A historic Kentucky landmark has been destroyed by a suspected arson fire. LAX 18 reports the Mount Zion-covered bridge near Springfield in Washington County was consumed by flames around 11:30 p.m. Tuesday. The 246-foot-long bridge, which spanned the Little Beach Fork, was built in 1871 and placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1976. It was Kentucky's longest multi-span bridge using the Burr Arch truss design. The fire remains under investigation by the Washington County Sheriff's Office, who is expected to turn it over to the state fire marshal.
Jury selection began this morning in the trial against a mom charged with making up a story about an Egyptian man trying to kidnap her daughter at a mall in West Virginia. Santana Adams of Milton is charged with falsely reporting an emergency incident. Opening statements in the trial are set to be heard in the Cabell County courtroom this afternoon. Adams claims she used a gun to thwart the attempted kidnapping of her 5-year-old at a mall in Barbersville in April of 2019. Her story unraveled when surveillance video didn't support her claims. A man who was accused of the crime was released from jail, and Adams was charged.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, showers mainly before 2 p.m., high near 59. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Saturday, a 20% chance of showers before noon, mostly cloudy with a high near 54. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers, mainly after 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 40.
On our feature segment today, a new dual credit course for high school juniors and seniors is being offered in Floyd County. WMKY's Sarah Mead has a story.
The course, Audio Production 1, is a creative partnership between the Mountain Arts Center, Big Sandy Community and Technical College, and Prestonsburg High School. It's a gateway to new BSCTC certificates in audio, video, and theater production. MAC Executive Director Joe Campbell says students are introduced to technical skills, recording equipment, and audio production vocabulary.
The last time they were here at the Mountain Arts Center was a couple weeks ago, and still some of them were virtual, so they're not as hands-on as they can be yet, but there were some students here. That day, they were working with our sound engineer about signal paths and gains and the gain structure of a channel and looking at the board and changing the way it will work from the board to stage.
The idea for the production course came about when BSCTC and the MAC partnered up a few years ago.
That was one of the goals, was to expand education in this field, in the recording and sound and audio and video and theater education. And so this is just the first step for that. This is the first of many ideas we have, and we've even got a few more certifications written to be able to offer classes soon.
Campbell says by supplying a recording studio and creating technicians in eastern Kentucky, the music industry is able to thrive there.
It's a way of looking at, see what students come out of this class really, really loving this industry and this field and want to continue on in something in this industry.
Students will also develop skills in evaluation and listening to audio recordings, as well as have the opportunity to assist with recording sessions. Campbell says the ideas for future courses doesn't end at audio production, however.
That is the idea, is to expand on this with some video classes and theatrical lighting, but we want some programs similar to the theater program, too.
Any students interested in registering can do so through BSCTC's website. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
It's 67 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Lake and Hub has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad to spend time with you on this Thursday evening. High school teams across the region are wrapping up basketball season. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lakin Hupp. High school basketball teams are wrapping up regular season play this week. Taking a look at girls' action in the 16th region tonight, Rose Hill Christian hosts Hannah out of Ashton, West Virginia at 6. Bath County hosts Raceland, and Elliott County heads to West Carter. Both of those games are set to begin at 7:30. In boys' regional action tonight, West Carter travels to Fleming and Morgan County hosts Prestonburg. Both of those games are set to tip off at 7 p.m. Then East Carter hosts Menifee and Fairview hosts Rose Hill Christian. Tip off in those games is set for 7:30. We'll have scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow on the morning edition. The Morehead State football team begins conference play at Presbyterian College this weekend. Facing an unorthodox springtime season, the Eagles are working to get their first win Saturday. Head coach Rob Tenier says his team is still developing a team and an identity for the season.
It's been difficult, but it's been good. I think we're in a good place. I think that we're excited about playing football. It's been 15 months, and we played the first game versus James Madison with about 8 practices versus a really superior opponent. And so we're looking forward to starting conference play and going down to play Presbyterian this week.
Game time on Saturday is set for noon, and you can listen to the Eagles live on our sister station, WIVY. Morehead State soccer team will hit the road to face off with Eastern Kentucky University tomorrow afternoon. Both teams will be looking for their first win on a young spring season in the matchup. Head coach Warren Lipka says his team has played well, but they haven't been able to find the back of the net yet.
It's very frustrating, you know, not for myself but for our kids, because they're working, they're committing, they're doing what they need to do. They're just not getting rewarded, and you know, that's what we got to focus on. We don't have a lot of time in between games during this pandemic year, but, you know, we just got to try to do what we can to try to change some things up front.
Game time is set for 3 p.m. in Richmond. The Volleyball Eagles welcome Belmont to Johnson Arena this weekend. MSU is undefeated so far this season, while the Bruins have just one win. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says her team is at the point where records don't mean a lot because every opponent will be giving MSU their best shot.
Tennessee Tech gave us everything they had, and we were able to pull it out in 5. But that was, even in that match, a different team than we had seen on film, because we are getting everybody's best game. If I was Belmont, this is a chance to make a statement and try and take down one of the top teams in the OVC.
Match time is set for 6 p.m. on Saturday and 1 p.m. on Sunday. The MSU men's basketball team has a few more days to wait before finding out who they will take on in the first round of the NCAA tournament in Indianapolis. Head coach Preston Spradlin says the team is focused right now on themselves and improving their game ahead of the tournament. As they have shown several times this season, the Eagles team improves with long breaks, and players believe this one will be the same.
They said their comment was, "Coach, they don't know what they've done. They gave us too much time to get better, so we're going to be ready." So our guys are excited about that opportunity.
Although the Eagles are back in the gym after a few days off, the break has given them a chance to celebrate and savor their Ohio Valley Conference championship.
And to be honest with you, winning the first one here in a decade, especially this time right now, it's been a trying year for everyone. COVID, job loss, the flooding in Eastern Kentucky, the devastation here of late. You know, to have a week to enjoy your championship and not worry about the NCAA tournament, I'll take that every day. That's special right now.
The Eagles will learn Sunday evening who they will take on in the opening round of tournament play. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Lakin Hupp. Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards Saturday, March 20th at 7 p.m. A virtual event. Tickets can be purchased online at cmh23.com. Awards presented by the Mountain Arts Center, Big Sandy Community and Technical College, Prestonsburg Tourism, CMH23, Highlands ARH, and UK Healthcare Markey Cancer Center. The Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards on Saturday, March 20th. Tickets and information online at cmh23.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks climbed to record levels as the comeback in tech shares resumed, while the signing of additional fiscal stimulus gave sentiment a further boost. And the Dow Industrials finished at a record closing high of 32,485.59 as the blue chip average was up 188.57 on the day. The S&P 500 also closing at a record of 40.53 at 3939.34, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 329.84, finishing at 13,398.67. And as mentioned, tech very strong today. Tesla up 4%, while Apple, Facebook, and Netflix were all up at least 2%. And tech was also given a boost because interest rates were stable today. The 10-year Treasury bond finished little changed at 1.52%. And President Biden, of course, signed a $1.9 trillion relief package into law. And the White House said stimulus checks could start hitting bank accounts this weekend. Chip stocks jumped on news that China's Semiconductor Trade Association formed a new group to work with their U.S. counterparts, and NVIDIA and Broadcom both very strong on the news, finishing up 4%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 23 cents at 93.82, PPL Energy down 25 cents at 27.21, App Harvest up $1.63 at 22.27, Marathon Petroleum down 18 cents at 58, and Fifth Third Bank down a penny, finishing at 38.01. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, showers mainly before 2 p.m., high near 59. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Saturday, a 20% chance of showers before noon, mostly cloudy with a high near 54. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers mainly after 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 40.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boy, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Shamari Mosley, Daria Denisenko, Levi Bryan, Lakin Hupp, Heather Fannin, Carla Haight, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Sarah Mead. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.